Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. From the arrangement of your furniture to your street address to the colors on your home and person, Carrie Norley coaches us on energy. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Carrie Norley. She is from originally Chicago and currently Sydney, Australia. So you're going to hear all sorts of American and Australian in her accent. It's pretty neat. But she's a feng shui consultant. That is her passion. And she is also into numerology. She has a new program out called Energy Unlimited, and they tap into the power of the universe is what they kind of teach there, which we're going to be talking about today. So Carrie, first, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Lynette. It's great to be here.
We start the show with a passage that's meaningful to our guests. Did you bring one to share with us today?
I did. My quote is, "Your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens." And for me, I think it's really beautiful because ultimately we all have the answers within ourselves and our visions are within ourselves. And so often, I know I can be caught up in it too, that we often want to go to other people for the answers, but ultimately the best answer that you will ever find is inside yourself.
Yes, they say we are wiser than we believe, right?
Absolutely.
That all the answers reside within. I'm finding that to be true. The more I let go and don't try and fight it as much, I feel that that is becoming more and more true. And I don't know if it's my age or just the fact that I'm too tired to fight it. But tell everybody what your passion is and where it began for you.
Well, my passion is ultimately actually in helping people to achieve their dreams and to realize their dreams and to make, I guess one of the things that I always say is that everything is possible. Everything in life is possible. And so that's ultimately my dream. And I started coaching about 10 years ago. And you talked about feng shui, and feng shui came into my life just over 3 years ago. It came in and I didn't actually realize I wanted it. But when it came, it was so powerful to me that I couldn't help but listen. And it's one of those things that it's in your heart, right? So I remember we had our feng shui consult done with my mentor. At the time, my husband was transferring from a personal training fat loss business into his massage business, and I was helping him with the marketing. And it was going really well, and it was growing, and he was doing what it needed to do. And then we feng shui'd, and I'm not kidding, within like a month of feng shui'ing, he was fully booked with a wait list. And I was like, how the heck did that happen? Because we didn't change anything else. We changed nothing else what we were doing. And if anything, I was starting my own stuff, and I was taking away, like I wasn't working as much for him in his business and not doing as much marketing with him. So in theory, it should have dropped off, not picked up. And that was for me, like where the passion for this really started. Because for me, having worked with the mind and having coached people for so long to help them to achieve their dreams, I just thought, wow, this is so amazing to do something that is so insanely easy and get such big results. And the thing that I love about it is like when we coach, and you would know this too, when you coach, the people who come to you bring you what they want to bring you, right? When I walk into a house, when I see someone's home, you can't hide it because it's on your walls. It's in everything that is around you is what's going on in your life. And so you can't hide behind whatever you don't want to show. And then just by moving things, things happen and change happens and results happen and new clients come and weight gets lost and children are born and relationships get happier. And it's just amazing. And I just love the ease and flow of it. And that's what I love about feng shui.
Some of the things I know about feng shui is this, like wherever you have a mirror, it's going to project whatever it reflects. So absolutely. It kind of sets the tone in the room, right?
Yep. It doubles whatever it reflects. Yep.
Right. So if it's a sad, lonely woman in your painting, that's what you're projecting into your life, right?
Absolutely.
In my dining room, I have this great 1800s ballroom, lively, dancing, chandelier, high energy painting. And I have it in there specifically to project that into the room because that's what I like to have in that dining room. Something else I know is about energy. You don't want to block energy. You don't want to have a mirror facing the door, although I do. I just realized when you open the front door to my house, if the energy were to come in, it would hit that mirror and go back out. Isn't that what they say or no?
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
But I really like that mirror there.
A lot of people have mirrors in the front entryways because it makes sense. We check ourselves before we leave the house. People come in. There's like a lot of people have it. It's probably better if you wanted to have the feng shui of it, to have it on like the side wall versus reflecting the door, like you said, because the energy comes in and bounces back out.
Okay. I think I need to change that. Something else is if the energy can come straight into your bed in your bedroom, like you should have something at the bottom of the bed to slow it down. Is that right?
So it's about the way the bed faces. So it's a bit technical, but hopefully I can explain it like this. Basically, you want so that you are looking out the door, because you always want to be able to see what it's called, like the power position. So whether it's a desk or a bed, your best positioning for it is to be able to look out the door, because you never want to be startled by people coming in or bad energy coming in. Basically, it's like that you always have the ability to see what's going on. And the thing about it being what you're saying with the blocking your foot of your bed is that, like, I'm looking here now and it's not directly in front of the door. So what happens when, if you have your foot of your bed directly in front of your door, then that's not the good energy. But if it's like bent away looking at the door, does this make sense?
Yes, if it's slanted, it's okay. But if it's straight on, what if it's not the entire foot of the bed, but most of it? That's probably still not good.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not great. But the thing is that sometimes it's not, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like depending on the way the room is laid out. And like, this is the thing about feng shui. I say it's easy. It's easy the way I teach feng shui, generally speaking, I like to keep it simple because it gets really technical and it gets really detailed. And it takes a long time to understand and study for the depths of it. But when you've done it and you understand the simplicity of it, it can be easy. So with the beds, basically, you want to not have it so that the energy is coming straight at you. But if there's no other place to put it, then there's no other place to put it. You know, like sometimes we just have to deal with certain things. And the thing that I have learned and really learned to accept about feng shui and energy is that sometimes, I don't know if you ever have this feeling, have you been in your house for a long time, the home you're in now?
9 years.
And do you feel like it's like, oh my God, I'm going to live there for the rest of my life?
I would like to, but since I took a big leap from my job to doing this, I don't know if I'll be able to, but I would like to.
Okay. So sometimes what I think about with houses, right, is that not only is it the feng shui of the home, do we have a lesson in the energy of the house, because each house has its own energy, right? There's no perfect feng shui house. There's going to be toilets and laundries and kitchens in a house, which equates to drainage. So when we have that drainage in a house, depending on where it is, it's going to end up draining a certain aspect of our life. And that's the way that the house is. It's just the lessons we have in that house. Not only that, but we have different, you know, rooms that have different energies to it, or different spaces, like you're saying. So like there's certain ways that you can put your bed that will affect the way that you are, or the address. So I talk about numerology. So the address to your home will have an energy. So for example, my numbers for my house are 37. So I have, and when you do numerology, you look at the number, but then you also add the number together to get down to a single digit. So 3 + 7 = 10, 1 + 0 = 1. So I have a 1 energy for this house. And the 1 is all about independence and leadership and knowing your identity. And so this house has really been strong for us, both my husband and I in learning our identity within ourselves and also within our business and really starting to show up in our businesses the way that we wanted to. And so eventually, between the feng shui of the house and the number energy of the house, we'll learn the lessons we need to learn and we'll move out, right? Because I have the feeling that once you learn the thing that you need to learn that the house gives you, then you don't need any more. So you can move on to something else. We have other learnings, right? So when I look at feng shui, and I always say this to make sure that people know that nothing is perfect. There's nothing going to be perfect about your house ever. And we just work with, when you work with a consultant, you work with how do we make the best of the situation that you're in? Because there's always a remedy for something.
My house is a one too. It comes down to a one also.
There you go. Isn't it interesting because you've started this business, yeah? You just said you left your job and started this business in the house, hey?
Yes, and I'm going on a 50-state tour with my show.
I know, I'm so excited. I just heard that.
So yeah, it's a lot of learning and a lot of things going on.
And really stepping into that leadership, right? Like, you know, this podcast you have, I mean, I think I saw 138, 100, is that what number you want, 158? There's a lot.
Downloads?
Yeah, no, of different shows that you've done already.
Oh, yes, 160.
Wow.
Yeah, 160 aired today, I believe.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just, to me, that's that leadership, right? You're stepping into this leadership. It's about having your independence and doing what you do. You're getting your identity around what you're doing. And that's that one energy of the house will definitely help you bring that into your world.
It really does make sense, though, when you say that you learn a lesson from where you live and then you move on. That does make sense because, you know, regardless, let's say when we're ready to downsize, when people downsize in general, I think they've learned a lesson from living in their home of what they want, what they don't need, things like that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So what kind of feng shui tips would you give?
One that everybody always likes is, so when you, let me explain the way feng shui works, and there's a map. So you've explained a few of the tips of what we can do within the dynamics. But the way that it works, there's actually a few different models or theories behind feng shui. And the way that I work is with something called a Bagua map. I'll spell it. It's a Bagua map. You can go look it up on Google. There'll be Bagua map there for sure. And the way that it works is it basically lays out a map of the energy of any space. So whether it's a room, a desk, a house, the block of land you live in, your apartment, your office building, whatever space that you want to put it in, then you use this map to know what energy is in each area. There's 9 different areas within the map. So you use it, and when you look at it, I'll explain it because I'm sure you'll all go Google it now. Mm-hmm. You put it in so that you have your career path, which is the square in the middle on the bottom, is in the front of from the doorway. And so from there, you can look at the rest of the squares of your house. And I won't get into all of them because it'll get too confusing, but go look it up. And from the front doorway of your home or your office, whichever space that you're looking in, the back left corner of that is your abundance corner. And so most people like to work with their abundance corner because we like to have more abundance. And I look at abundance, it can be a million things for a million people. As you know, financial, it can be abundance in your health, in your relationships, however you want to look at it. But a lot of people do look at it as a financial abundance, and that definitely works that way. So the back left corner of your home or your office is where your abundance corner is. And so I always tell people to start there and look what is there and make sure that it's clear and it's got an easy path for you to get whatever you want to come in. So that is, if you have a house, that's the back corner of your house, but it's also the back corner of the land that you live on, if that makes sense.
So do you, when you put your house on that map, does it ask you, do you have to place it north, south, east, and west, or is it just aligns with the door?
It just aligns with the door.
Okay. So that's my dining room.
Yeah. Beautiful. Perfect. So just make sure that you keep it clear. And something else you can do in your dining room is in feng shui, a really good thing is because our dining rooms are about where we, well, it's where we sit and we eat, and there's so much abundance in that room, right? We come together to be in community and togetherness, right? You can put a bowl of fruit on your dining room table, and that will symbolize wealth. Like, there's always enough for me. There's always food for me, because if I have a bowl of fruit, I can eat something, right?
Right.
Or you can put, I just alternate between that and flowers, fresh flowers.
Okay. So it's a really fun thing. I was thinking about putting mirrors on the other wall facing the painting. And underneath that is a piano.
So put a mirror facing the painting in your dining room and the bowl of fresh fruit or flowers. It's a really abundant thing to do for your dining area. It's in a very strong feng shui. They will often have mirrors in your dining room with something alive. So it's like I said, like you can have the fresh flowers to symbolize, you know, the life and the beauty. And often, like for a lot of people, flowers are an abundant thing because it's not something we always buy ourselves. So there's that specialness of I buy myself or I pick flowers or however you get them, that abundant feeling to be able to bring that into your world as well.
Okay. So one last question about feng shui, and you mentioned it with toilets and things like that. One thing that I read one time, and my daughter and her boyfriend, and my husband, they think I am crazy, but I'm like, keep the lids down. Keep
toilet
the lids
down. Yes.
Tell everybody why.
Okay. So toilet lids are definitely keep them down and shut your toilet. Like in Australia, often we have in bathrooms that are just like the toilets are actually separate from the bathroom, from the sink and everything. And in America, they're usually all together. So either place you are, just make sure that you're shutting the door to your bathroom or your toilet or both of them, because it's a drainage section. So we want to keep all the energy out of the drainage energy is basically what happens. And you don't want to be like, ultimately, every time you're flushing something down the drain, right? And this is what's happening. So just by closing the lid symbolizes, it's like for you, it's like I'm not allowing drainage. And it's a reminder every time you do it as well. And it's huge. I know I had a client who took that on board, and that was the only thing she took on board. And actually, she heard me speak and she took that on board. She became a client afterwards because her husband had been out of work for quite some time, quite a few months. They started doing it, and she had older kids. They were in their teens and up, I think, like 18 to 20s or something. And she made sure that they were making sure that the toilet seats were down, all that kind of stuff. And within 2 weeks of doing that, her husband got a call to do some really big contract. He went in, he got the job, and they hired him again for more work. So he had extended work, and it was quite a big contract for what he did. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe it, just from the toilet seats.
No, I'm serious. That happened to me. I said, everybody, toilet seats down, because if you don't have the toilet seats down, your money is being flushed down the toilet. That's what I told them. So yep. My husband, my daughter, and I, they were like, oh my gosh, all right. So put the toilet seats down. Within 2 weeks, my husband got a promotion. We got a refund in the mail. I mean, three different money opportunities came our way. And then, so we just made it a habit to keep the toilet seats down. And a few months later, we had visitors at the house, and you know, obviously I'm not going to be a big nut and say put the toilet seat down, right? But we went to Six Flags, a theme park, and when I got there, we realized I didn't have the season passes, which meant we had to pay to get in for the day, which is expensive. We didn't activate them yet, so we couldn't even locate them because we didn't activate them yet, and we got a speeding ticket on the way. So everybody's like, leave the toilet seats down. Now that my daughter is in her own apartment, I went there the other day and I go, oh, how funny, your toilet seat is down.
It's like people become the toilet seat Nazis. It's pretty funny, but it's true. And like, this is the thing that I was saying to you before about feng shui, and the thing that I love about it so much is that it's such simple things, but it just works and it has profound working. It's not just, oh, the small, you know, it can be. And this is, I guess, the thing to think about. And I talk about manifesting a lot. The thing that I say is, if you haven't manifested before, or if you haven't used these tools before, then look for small things, because it could just be that you find, you know, I know one of my clients is like, oh my God, Kira, I just ended up finding 5 cent and 20 cent pieces on the street. It's amazing. I've never seen that before. And I asked for it, and this is what's coming. And then the next thing I know, she just posted, because I have a Facebook group, it's called Business Manifestors Club. And she posted in there that she found a $200. Like, so it just keeps growing when you start to use it and believe in it, and you start to see it, but it's okay to start small. So like you said, you had this amazingness happen from the toilet seats. So it can be small and it can be big, but just pay attention when you start using any of this type of work that it can, you know, it can show up in a small way, but don't discount that. You know, it's still the universe saying to you, here you go, paying attention. Are you paying attention? Because if you pay attention to the small things, it'll keep giving you more and more and you'll get bigger and bigger and bigger things.
Okay, I get it. All right, that's feng shui. And I know there's so much. If listeners, if you're interested in feng shui, I mean, you can always reach out to Carrie. You can always get books on it. I mean, I know when I was looking at the property for this house, I made sure the yard did not roll downhill away from the house and that mm-hmm. I have trees behind it that are supporting it, you know, in strength. And there's no corners of any other houses kind of shooting daggers my way. I noticed all of these things just from reading one book. So I think that's really cool. Now, numerology, that was really neat. Can we try another one?
So let me explain numerology just quickly a little bit. Is about, there's a science to it in the fact that it's how we use the energy of numbers. And so we can look at your birth number, so the day that you were born, and that actually divides into quite a few numbers. And different energies for how you show up. And then it's almost like I would call it a personality profiling system, but different, if that makes sense. It's not, you know, like you have your DISC profiles and all these different profiling systems. And it gives you all these different traits of who we are in life.
Okay. Do you want to do me and see what I come out to be?
You can tell me. Go on. What's your birthday?
April 20th. Do you need to know the year?
Yeah. Are you okay to tell me the year?
Yeah. 1968.
10 is
do, 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 do.
30, you're a 3. So you're 30/3. 3 is like we were talking about earlier today. It's a really fun, a fun adventure travel is a lot of what a 3 energy is. And so it's really important for you to have that in your life. It's also a number where you can click your fingers and get anything you want. So what's important to know for a 3 energy is that if you are not being able to just click your fingers and get what you want, i.e. right now you're doing your 50 states. And so I'm imagining that there's a lot of like, oh my God, I need to manifest quite a bit of stuff going on right now for you mm-hmm. to manifest 50 states and doing all the different adventures you're doing in each state and all that kind of stuff. So if you're not in your flow, then it can be more challenging. When you are in your flow, it can be quite easy for you. The way to stay in your flow as a 3 energy is to make sure that you are not the martyr. So you're putting yourself first. And often as women, we are very good at being martyrs and putting our children and everybody else and our clients all before us. It's very easy to do. And so it's really important in a 3 energy specifically to make sure that you're not doing that and to make sure that you're putting yourself first. And when you start to really own that, like you even said it earlier about how like owning that it's easy for you and that if you just let go and let the flow, it can just, you know, things get easier to see. We were talking about, you know?
Yeah, yes.
And so this is the same concept that sometimes in that martyr, like we fill the space with helping everybody else so much that we don't actually give ourselves space, the time and space to just be. And when we just be, that's when things get really easy. If you know what I mean?
Yes. And I am not in flow today. I will tell you that. I am giving today, but I'm enjoying this conversation. This is one of the best things I've done today.
Yay!
All right. So I know you went to school to be an elementary school teacher, correct?
Yes.
And so how did you transition from that concept to this? And did you have any challenges along the way?
Oh, wow. What a journey. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess my first one was just the decision to move to Australia. But then once I got here, I was studying, I went from teaching in early childhood. I was teaching in a preschool and in the inner city of Chicago, which was quite fascinating. And then moved to Australia and studied integrated body therapies, which is massage for the Americans in the room. And all the other, so many other wonderful ways of working with our body and nutrition and all sorts of different aromatherapy and all that kind of stuff. From there, I actually, in an external training, met my now husband, and he invited me into a course. It's, you know, divine timing, right? He invited me into this 2.5-day training that was, oh my God, it's $800, it's valued at $800, it's free, you know, one of those things. And I went along, and that was a pivotal point for me changing my life. And it got me into all the mindset stuff and the coaching, and my life was never really the same after that. And for me, after that, it's always been about what I found with my massage clients was I was getting these really amazing results, but I knew it was because I was working with their mind, you know, like the massage was good. but what was changing it, when you have somebody who has got chronic pain and has been to every single person, including psychiatrists and physios and chiros and da-da, and they're still in workers' comp with chronic pain, and within a few sessions they're getting better, it's not the massage that got them better, it's their mind. That's where it all kind of turned for me, is working with the mind. And for me, I just love seeing people to make their dreams come true. And as far as challenges along the way, for me in coaching, and you would know this, I guess the biggest challenge is how do you become somebody that's different than everybody else in the market, if you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's a very literal challenge. But when I first started coaching, I was really blessed in getting to work with a company that was an international personal development company. And I was handed clients left, right, and center, and I loved it. And it was an amazing experience. And so when I decided 3 years ago to come back out and do my own thing again after having children, it was a real challenge for me to figure out how to stand out in the crowd. And for me, that's why I love the feng shui, is because ultimately, you know, like I get when I start talking to people about doing speaking or podcasts or whatever, it's not often that somebody can say that I help people with business to end and in life to help, you know, create a really great energy and flow in your life to be able to manifest your dreams. And I do this through these crazy wild tools of feng shui, colors, numerology, mindset work, da 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 da. It's a kind of strange and weird and wonderful tool belt to have.
I think it's super interesting.
Yeah, it is. But it was for me a real hurdle in that I could do it for myself. You know, I think we all in business all have to take that leap of faith at some point to say, like you did, you know, to move from the job into doing your own work. Well, for me, even though I've been coaching for that long, I always found ways to do it under other people's banners. And I loved that. It was safe. And I just got to do what I really wanted to do. And so for me, the hurdle to move into my own work has been a big leap of faith and a big challenge in many ways, to be able to put myself out there and to have the faith that what I have to offer is of value to other people, you know?
So what do you think you've learned then about yourself?
Oh man. For me, what I've learned about myself is that when I fall down, I have the ability to rise back up again. You know, that when faced with the challenges, and every day as entrepreneurs, we are all faced with challenges. It's pretty much regular. It's a regular occurrence, whether it's the technology that doesn't work or the finances that fall apart or the kids that are homesick and, oh my God, I have 3 calls today. It's all that kind of stuff. And the ability, I think, that makes a person successful is the ability to actually handle all of that and to be able to show up no matter what's coming at you. You know, I have kids at home who are sick. Well, you know, you juggle it. You have this going on, this technology thing going on, and I have to get this launched, this program. You know, like I've just launched my program. Well, that doesn't stop just because there's technology that's not working for me. And I think it's just the ability to roll with the punches and get up and fall down, and to be willing to fall down, I think, is a big one. The ability to be willing to just take that leap and go, I have no idea if this is going to work. I have no idea if I'm going to fall flat on my butt or my face, but I'm still willing to go there. And I think for me, it's been an amazing journey to learn that, yeah, I do fall down, and yeah, I can step back up again.
I get it. Trust me, I get it.
I think it's a big lesson. It's a big lesson for a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think it's a really important one, because I think so often there's actually a lot of people who are afraid of that, of getting that, you know, and being able to go into the place that allows us to fall down. I know I was actually listening to your podcast that you did with Toni Marie Hannon, who's a gorgeous coach as well, and she was talking about fear, and it's a scary thing every day in our life. And the ability to actually fully fall face first is a pretty big one to do.
Absolutely. That was a really good episode too. Mm. So for people who are listening and are interested in what you're talking about, do you have a resource that you could recommend they check out?
So as far as books go and feng shui goes, the person that I have studied in book form is from Lillian Tu. And her name is T-O-O. She's got more books than I can count on my fingers and toes. I'm always wary about saying it because feng shui, like I said, can be quite technical, and some of her books can be quite technical. So go and check it out if that's what you feel called to do, and trust that you'll find the right one, but they can be quite technical. I've written a book as well that you can check out on Amazon if you're in the States, and it's called How to Use Feng Shui to Create Business Abundance. And the reason I wrote it the way that I did was really, really, really simple. It takes a few hours to read, and everybody who's gotten it has actually read it and implemented things. And the reason I say it is because a lot of feng shui books out there are quite, like I said, quite technical. They can get quite complicated. They can get quite long. And I know that it can be hard to finish them and to implement them. That's why I wrote the book the way I did it, because I just wanted to give you guys really simple, easy things to do that you could implement right away. So either one of those is a really good resource.
Okay, excellent. So you know what? In this part of the show, it's Motivate Me Express to Success, because, you know, I believe in order to get people to act, they need to first envision it for themselves, explore their options, execute a plan. So let's stick with business abundance by using feng shui. So
yeah,
what can people envision when they try to implement this?
I think, first of all, the really important thing in envisioning anything in life, but especially with feng shui, is setting your intention. So making sure that you set an intention for any of the work that you do when you start looking into this, so that you can actually make sure that when it happens, that you know that it's happening, because it can happen and you won't see it. For example, if you go, like we talked about, and go declutter your abundance corner, imagine whatever the flow is that you want. So if you know that you need some new clients in your business, then imagine 3 new clients calling up, and what does it look like when that happens? Imagine if you need, you know, it could be a lump sum of money coming in from who knows where. You know, it's possible, right? The checks that randomly show up or whatever. So just imagine it flowing to you however it flows to you. If it's that you want to put an addition, you know, onto your house, imagine it happening and then clear the space to allow the flow to happen.
You know, you're making me realize that the dining room, which is my abundance corner, gets the overflow from the kitchen a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
Now I need to find which corner of the house I can put that in.
It's a funny thing, feng shui. I always say it's like people say once you're feng shui'd your house, is it done? And the answer is no, it's never done because of exactly that. You know, I look through my house and every day there's something that I've put somewhere that you've gone and jumped this thing here and you've walked in and you left that there and you go, I can't believe. Or there's a vase that you forgot to put away, and there's always something going on, always.
Oh, wait, there's always that one small counter in the kitchen
that
collects everything. I'm scared to know what that means when you have that.
I have that one too.
Okay, good. I mean, how can you live without that? I think there's something wrong with people who don't have any clutter. Come on, you have to have some clutter somewhere. I mean, otherwise, I remember I went into one of my teacher friend's classroom. We had a meeting in her room after, and hers classroom is spotless. And I looked around and I said to her, where's all your teacher stuff? Like, you know, like, where do you keep everything? It was spotless. Mine was organized piles.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think that's part of life. And that's what I was saying. Like, it's just constant. So for me, when I want to work with an energy, if I know that there's something that I want to bring into my world, say, like we've talked about the abundance corner, then I'll look in that corner and go, okay, so there is that pile that got lumped there, because usually there will be a pile in most places, like you've just said. And so then it's, for me, it's just, okay, taking the time to clear that. And then the intention behind, now I'm clearing this to bring the abundance in, you know?
Okay. I'm going to do that today. So what if I put it in the room that's in the front left of the house?
Put it away. When you go and you clear the space, go clear it. Go and put it away.
Okay. All right.
Find a home for it.
I will. Okay, so to explore then, how can people explore this for themselves?
So you can read these books like we were talking about. I think that's the easiest, like with feng shui, is just to start looking. I mean, go before you go buy books, just go look online, go Google it, you know? There's so much information about it out there. I won't lie. That you can find ways to do it and just start the exploration, just start in doing it, you know, like moving things. And even if you know nothing else and you don't want to explore anything else and you don't want to read anything else, just start clearing out spaces, you know, and set an intention as you're clearing it as to what you want to bring into your world. See what happens.
And leave the toilet lids down.
I
think we should make that the first step to execution. Your first step to execute this plan.
Yeah, and there's no excuse. Hey, I have a 3-year-old and a just 7-year-old boy and a husband. So 3 boys in the house. And they all manage, even the 3-year-old manages to get toilet seats done. So there's no excuse big enough to who and why you have that cannot get a toilet seat done.
Well done. Well done. Carrie, before I ask you about your closing advice that you'd like to leave us with today, I'm just curious because one thing we didn't really talk about is paint colors or colors in general. So I'm just curious about, do certain colors stand out to you for certain things? Like let's say bedrooms. I did look into that before I did some painting. Like, for example, my bedroom is painted like let's say Hershey chocolate brown. And they said that's good for communication.
Really?
That's what I thought. It's not for conversation.
Yeah. Does it work for you?
I thought so.
Does it work for you? Then I won't say what I was going to say. Does it work
for
you?
No, go ahead. No, you tell me. I want to know.
No, I don't want to tell you.
No, tell me what it is.
Is it working for you? Are you having really good conversations in your bedroom?
I thought we were. Awesome. I mean, now we've been really busy, but let's say when we first moved in, when we weren't used to having a bedroom that color, I just know, and maybe it was the room we were attracted to more than the paint color, but I remember saying, you know, let's go upstairs and talk about it. Let's just go upstairs. We'll relax, you know, and we'll talk about it upstairs. And we never did that in our old house. So that's why I felt that way, but it could have been.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because to me, a bedroom is for not just talking, because I don't do much talking in my bedroom. Okay. You know, so like my question is it interfering with the other extracurricular activities of a marriage?
Well, geez, I don't know. That would be hard to tell. That's a good just question. Tell me what it stands for. Tell me what brown represents.
Because to me, I'll just tell you that like to me, a bedroom is about like sleeping, resting, and extracurricular activities.
Right.
So just making sure that when you're in the bedroom, that those things are also happening restfully and easily as well.
So what color would you say promotes that?
So a great color to use in your bedroom, if you did a feature wall, I wouldn't do the whole bedroom this way. A great color can be to use red. And if you don't want to do a feature wall in red, you can actually, one of the tips for feng shui is to actually put a red sheet under your bed. So like if you actually lift the mattress up between your the bed rest, and your mattress, and you just put a red sheet under there. So I actually, for like my queen size bed, we actually have like a single red sheet because it fits just flat under there. And that's meant to help you to bring in more togetherness and passion. You can also stick all sorts of fun things for you today for your bedroom. You can stick a string, like if you tie a string in the middle, so you actually have two strings and you tie it in the middle. It's about like coming togetherness as well. In your bedroom. So those are fun things that you can do to help.
Where do you put
that? Under your bed.
Okay.
Under your bed.
All right.
And tie it. And if you don't have, if it's just down to the ground, you know, like some bases are all the way to the ground, then don't worry about using that. Just use a red mattress. But if you have a gap under there, then you can do that.
I will tell you that the accent colors in my room are red. I have a big,
beautiful.
I have a big painting in there of poppies and I have red jars. So red, and my old house, my bedroom was red.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, there I do have it. Some red, and I do have a set of red sheets that sometimes I put on the bed.
That's the sheets you want to put on when you want to have some more passion in the life.
Okay. All right. Now I know. Yeah. Listeners, it's you good. Heard it here.
It's also really good, even if you're not wanting more passion in your intimate life, but red is really a good color for action and confidence. So it's a color that I use for days. So for me, when I use color, I use it every, like all the time. So I'll put on I dress in the way that I want to feel for the day. So with my intentions. So if I have a really big day of things like that, I know that could be freaking me out, or I need to go and do some speaking gig that's freaking me out, or I know that I have, you know, like some days you have that you're like, oh my God, I have so much on my to-do list that it's ridiculous. And you're just going to need to have like, go, 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 go.
Right.
So in some of those days that I know I need to have a lot of action, a lot of confidence and a lot of power in my work, then red is the color that I will often put on to just power through the day.
Yeah. I'm mad at red right now. I won't wear it. I saw a picture of myself, I don't know how long ago, wearing a red shirt. And I said, I'm never wearing a red shirt again.
But you don't have to wear it as a shirt. You can wear it as your underwear. You can wear it as your pants. You can wear it as a scarf. You could put it on as a necklace.
Right.
You know?
That I would do.
So the colors don't have to be. And I'm very clear about that because I look horrible if I put an orange shirt on. And yet I still find ways to get orange into my life, if you know what I mean.
What does orange do for you?
Orange is about creativity and change. So if I really want to have some big changes, like if I'm shifting energy and I'm like, oh, this is not working for me anymore, I just need to change this, then orange is the color I'll work with. Yeah. So, and you can have, I use orange, like concentrated orange weeks, and holy moly, oh my God, by the time I'm done with a week of orange, sometimes I'm ready to,
wow. I'm done. Wow. What about orange as in the color of terracotta? Because that's the color of my family room.
It's
orange with a little bit of brown in it.
Yeah, I would say the same. It's going to do the same type of thing.
I've been creative since I moved in this house. I mean, I wrote two novels and now I'm doing this, so.
Wow. Yeah, orange is that color to really bring out your creativity.
Okay, I'm going to go get an orange onesie. Actually, that's what I'm wearing right now. Actually, oh my God, I'm wearing a red shirt.
You said you were wearing it.
I know, but it's a fleece. It doesn't count. It's over my t-shirt. It's a pullover, like it's my daughter's college fleece, but it's different. It's loose and comfortable. Okay. What closing advice do you have? You gave us so much great information. I hope everybody was enjoying this as much as I am. I'm sure they would like to pose some questions to you on their own. And we'll make you a part of my private group so they can reach out to you that way too. But what kind of closing advice would you like to leave us with?
I think that, like I've been saying the whole time, I think that just the knowing that everything is possible and believing in that. And for me, it's all about just looking at the space around you, looking at your internal dialogue. There's so many factors that we can use to help to clear energy out of our lives and to make it flow with ease. And if you're feeling stuck, know that there is a way to make it easier. Like for me, it's always about looking at how can I make things as in flow and as easy as possible. That's for me like the most important thing. Like life can be easy and everything is possible.
It's really all in your mind, right?
It's totally all in your mind.
You know.
Or in your energy.
Right,
but, you know,
exactly.
It's like the chicken or the egg, I think.
Right, your thoughts create your energy because if you have negative thoughts and you're down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so your contact information, let's give everybody that.
So you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Carrie Norley. I mentioned there's a Facebook group. It's a free group you can come and join. That's the Business Manifestors Club. So I'm sure you'll have the links down below anyway, but you can come and play with me in Business Manifestors Club on Facebook.
I'm in that group as well.
Ah, it's so fun in there. I really love that group. It's a really fun group. And the theme days are all based around helping us to manifest our dreams, which is awesome. And then my website is carrienorley.com. And on there, there's information about my book and my new program. That's the monthly program that you spoke about earlier. That's really about how do we stay in flow with what's going on. So through numerology and the astrology, we look at the energy of the world. And then I give you all these tips on how do we work with that through the month to make sure that we stay using colors, feng shui, crystals, all sorts of different fun stuff to stay in flow with what's going on so that it is easy. Because if we're fighting against it, then it's happening, whether you like it or not. So you might as well know about it and you might as well work with it.
And you have a partner who does the astrology piece on there, right?
Yeah. Yes. Kat Ellis McIntyre is doing the astrology piece because it's not my...
Not your forte?
Not my forte.
So I hope to get her on the show. That would be really cool to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you your information.
You're going to be like, listen, Lynette Renda, you do not want to get on there with her.
like, get on there with her because she's so cool.
Awesome. Well, Carrie, I want to thank you so much, though, for coming on. And like I said, we will make you a part of the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System so people can reach out to you that way as well. Good with you?
Perfect.
Okay, so thank you so much. This was such an interesting conversation.
Thank you for having me. I always love having interesting conversations like this. And actually, you've brought out a lot of different things than I normally talk about on podcasts, so it's really fun. I love having people ask the questions and juicy things come out.
Awesome, awesome. So for the go-do, I think you're in line with me when I say, everybody, lids down.
Lids down, for sure.
I think that's perfect. And remember, you guys, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.